Amen.
Immer treu zu Jesus, immer treu zu ihm, treu zu seinem Kreuze, bis wir heimwärts ziehen. Immer treu zu Jesus, immer treu zu ihm, treu zu seinem Kreuze, bis wir heimwärts ziehen.
Nun bitten wir, Bruder Frank.
I'm also greeting every one of you in the precious name of our Lord, and I wish us God's richest blessing. We of course have come again together from near and far to hear God's word, to hear it in the original, without interpretations, without our own opinion, just as it is written, because God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. We received phone calls from many countries, Brother Daniel from Cape Town, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, Dr. Mbie from the Congo, Brother Barrier, Brother Genton, Brother Wahlström, from all over, the brethren are sending their greetings. Brother Nyagi from Nairobi. We are in fact joined together deep on the inside with everyone, and we are rejoicing that God's word is being heard and believed and received. Then most surely we have visitors here today in our midst who are here today for the first time. One brother from Brazil, one sister from Chile, and most surely friends from Sweden. And I would like that all who are here today for the first time, that they just stand up so that we can welcome them in a special way. There is our sister. There are some brothers and sisters. Are you from Sweden? You are from Sweden. God bless you in a special way. God bless the sister from Chile. God bless our brother from
Belgium.
Very nice. Here, one sister, and this is our brother from the Amazon region, from Brazil. Him we will call tomorrow to the front so that the whole church can see him then, and that it can hear a short testimony from him. Then we have here our sister. God bless you in our midst. There, one brother, God bless you. Here again, a sister. We are just so grateful for all of you who you can come. It's still the time of grace, and we have still the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord, to hear it in the original. Maybe firstly, that we are also greeting all from here, worldwide, we are greeting them. Some did not stand up, who are also here today for the first time. We will not mention names, don't you worry. We are just so glad and thankful to God that we can come together undisturbed to hear the wonderful eternal word of God. Then we have greetings from Brother Zwicka from Israel. He was our tour guide on our trip through Israel. And we in fact had a very nice trip, and Brother Zwicker phoned me, and at the end of the conversation he wept much and said, "Brother Frank, when you come next year, then I would like to be your guide." And then he added, "The sermons in the evening, they give me so much." And then he really began to weep, and he rejoiced that God's word is speaking to him, and that it does not return void at him. Also him we are greeting warmly, and all our friends in Israel and all over the world. Now just briefly concerning this trip, we were exactly 50 persons. It was in an harmony, and we had two difficulties right at the beginning. One in Frankfurt, when Brother Kramer, who is sitting here in the front, he wanted to check in, and he was not allowed to check in. They said, "You have no visa, you cannot travel." And to make it short, we were all waiting for him, and behold, finally I got hold of him, and I just said, "Leave this check-in counter and go to the next one. Just say thank you at this check-in counter and go to the next one and get your boarding card." And behold, he went there and received the boarding card, and he traveled with us to Israel. You all know, in our country it is so, all who are born before 1928, they, because of our past in the Third Reich, they must be sifted first before they can enter Israel. But God gave grace. The worst thing happened then in Israel, in Tel Aviv, when a sister, is she here today? Is the sister from Luxembourg, is she here today? No, she's not here. But she had no passport and no ID card. And we were landing in Tel Aviv, and she didn't come out until, with a special permission, I went back into the custom area, and behold, she was sitting sad on a bench. And then I went there to the officers in this custom area, and I said, "What is going on?" And they said, "How is it that this woman could even enter? And she comes originally from Burundi, not even having a passport, not leave alone a visa. How was it possible that she got here?" And to make it short, contacting the Department of Home Affairs, everything what one must do in such a case. And the high-ranking people came and they said, "It is really impossible. This lady must return with the next flight. She must leave the country." And as it sometimes is given me from the Lord, it came over my lips, "Dear ladies and gentlemen, this would be the first time that the God of Israel would forsake me." And they looked at each other, and the lady who was sitting in front of me, she looked at me and said, "Do you have 140 shekels?" I said, "Yes, I have them." And This was the price for the visa, and she received the visa and she could enter the country. And afterward, I heard it. It never happened before and will never happen again. I said, all right, thank you. And I said goodbye. God is still on his plan and everything is in subjection to him. He makes a way where there is no way. And we also experienced it recently in South America, how God, after many, many years, granted grace. He really granted grace, and we are rejoicing together with all who find grace in the sight of God and who are hearing in this end time the true divine message and who can believe as the scripture says it. Then we have, just briefly to make the remark, which I did already here and there, I said it also last Sunday in Zurich, when we were driving along the Dead Sea, I was so sad as never before in Israel. And one could see the large areas which had no water anymore. The Dead Sea has receded so far that it was just so sad to look at, and I could not get over it. And I was thinking by myself, why must it be like this in Israel, and then with the Dead Sea? And when I returned into my hotel room, yeah, then I was reading Ezekiel 47, and in verse 11 it's written of the pools and swamps which will not be healed but which remain for salt winning. And then I became so happy on my inside. I was writing down then the datas. You can read it up. Ezekiel 47. There are the details written. What will happen when the temple will be built, when the Lord will restore the divine order again, and when the fountain of water will flow from the temple into the Dead Sea. I have here the datas. The Dead Sea, 55 kilometers long, 16 kilometers wide. But listen closely now. Until 1930, it had still 1,050 square kilometers. And now it has 600 square kilometers. The water level dropped by 25 meters. And now you can imagine how sad I was. But when I was reading that the Dead Sea will come to life and that there will be a great multitude of fish, like just like in the Mediterranean Sea, and that the swamps and the pools which are around the Dead Sea, that on the one hand the sea will be healed and many fishes will be in it, and 300 meters on or 800 meters from it, the swamps and pools remain salty for sword winning. And then I was thinking by myself, my God, if this is now already like this, as it will be when the river flows from the temple, how near must then the return of the Lord be? Brothers and sisters, there are moments in our lives where God speaks directly to us and shows us His word before our eyes, letting us know when you will see these things coming to pass, be it now in Matthew 24, Mark 13, be it in Luke 21, be it in 1 Thessalonians 4, be it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, doesn't matter where the end time is described, be it 2 Peter 3, and whether we go to Revelation, we can see how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled in our time, right before our very eyes. And if we then look at the world events, if we look to Rome, tomorrow morning I will bring with me the headlines, the world seen from Rome. It doesn't really matter how they are voting here and there, how a referendum turns out. Everything is running with high speed. No one needs to wait until the citizens of a nation decide. The decisions were made already a long time ago. And everything goes according to plan, regardless of how a referendum turns out. This is what even the high-ranking politicians said after the polls in France and the Netherlands. They said, just don't you worry, the agenda goes on. And this we all know. So, don't worry. We are in reality at the end of the end time. And all the world is being united. There's really only one point, one place on earth, only one single world capital where religion and where politics are being united. And when I was reading up, that Pope Benedict the 16th has received 174 diplomats from all over the world, and just imagine what kind of applause was given to him before he spoke to this 174 diplomats. Everything is just here, and one sees to whom the people are looking up to, who this great person is, for whom all are waiting for. And it is really manifesting before us. But now, to our subject at this weekend. It is about the call of God. About the call of God. First, the call of grace, about the calling out from world and sin, calling out from unbelief, out from everything what is not in agreement with God and His word. And then it is about the calling out of those who are already believers. Let me for this read you a couple of scriptures. The first one from Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. The very well-known word for all of us. Verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Verse 3, the voice of him that cries. Remember, keep in mind the word cries. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 6, the voice said, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? And then we go straight to Matthew chapter 3, where this man of God came on the scene to prepare the way for the Lord, to make low the high places and to make high the low places, as written in the prophet Isaiah. Matthew 3, verse 3. And just look how straight the word of God is. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. It could not be another one. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. How often did we say it? The New Testament begins with a supernatural way, with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy from the Old Testament. We have it especially in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, which testifies about the supernatural work of God from the very beginning. Luke 1, from verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a report of those things which are most surely fulfilled among us. Keep in mind the word fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And now Luke writes, it seemed good to me also, having accurately followed all things from the very first, to write unto thee an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest convince thyself of the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. This we need. We need to make a check-up which convinces us. And we see, when we read on, then Luke lines out how the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias, how the announcement was made of the birth of him who would go before the Lord in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This was a part of the promise from the prophet Malachi. And so we have here the evidence, the proof in the word of God. And we can convince ourselves of all things by the word. And we do not dare to believe what is not written. We believe and are convinced by the Word of God, by comparing Bible prophecies with their fulfillment. And this is a conviction, a persuasion, where no man needs to help anyone. This is once and for all yes and amen. That's how God said it, and that's how it took place. Then we have here the announcement of our Redeemer also in Luke 1 from verse 26. And then we have the song of praise of Mary. My soul does exalt the Lord. Luke 1:46. And we have the praise of Zacharias. Luke 1:67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And now it comes.
In verse 70.
As he promised by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. I'm just reading this to show us, the building up, how God first gave promises and how he watched over his word to bring then everything to its fulfillment. Let us go back to Matthew chapter 11. Here our Lord himself confirmed, and once again we find the wording, for this is he. This is very important. It could not be another one. Only him whom God promised, whom God announced. It could only be him. Also as a forerunner. And it was really him. Matthew 11, verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Now we have both scriptures summarized, the one from the prophet Isaiah and the one from the prophet Malachi. We summarize them, and both times it's written, this is he, this is the man whom God has sent, and of whom then is written in John chapter 1, that all might believe through him. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came, not another one, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. If it is a promised prophet, then it is not another one, then it is him. This is he of whom it is spoken of in the prophet Isaiah. This is he of whom it is written in the prophet Malachi. This is he, a man sent from God with the word of God for the time at the beginning when the bridge should be made from the Old to the New Testament. And it was fulfilled what is written in Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verse 16, we read, in reference to our Lord, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." In verse 17, the emphasis, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And not only came, but they became a reality through him. Brothers and sisters, as Luke has written, that these are things which are convincing us, from the scripture, and this we need in our time. It is not enough that we say, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet." It must become like this. It must become like this. And if we then read in 2 Peter chapter 1, the word of prophecy shines as a light in a dark place. You see, now it is about, and I'm asking all of you to receive it. Now it is about that we believe the promises of God which he gave for the end time, that we believe them, that we receive them, and that we experience them. We have emphasized it repeatedly. Just as God brought Israel from all peoples, tongues and nations at the end of days, according to the promises of the scripture, back into the land of promise, they must be there. They must be there where the promises will find fulfillment. They cannot remain in New York or in Washington or somewhere in Paris or Berlin. This doesn't work. They must be there where God will make history with them. There where the two prophets will come on the scene, as the Holy Scripture declares it in Zechariah 4 and Revelation chapter 11. Now, we come to the call. As we just said before, the first call is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls." It is the call to come out from the world, to get saved, the call to repentance. If we read for this from the Gospels and then going to the book of Acts, John gave the call, but he also baptized. Namely, all who believed, they were baptized. Also with the baptism of John, the disobedience and one's own ways are ending in the moment when the call of God comes into our lives. This, you must just accept like this. God cannot accompany us on our own ways of error unto the end. He can only accompany us on His way and only in His word. And only His word is the truth. If we sometimes mention Brother Branham, then not because we feel like doing it, but we must say it for the sake of the truth. And this you must also believe me now. I of course knew personally these great men, beginning with Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, Tommy Hicks, Cerullo, who they were, Beat Duplessis, who they might be, Shakarian and Gordon Lindsay, and who they were. Partly, I was even their interpreter. I was in the international meetings. With Duplessis, I was in Rome in 1964 at the time of the Second Vatican Council. I had direct information about what Cardinal Constantin Beer said, the German cardinal. He said, "Let us speak the language of our separated brethren so that they understand us." And this was it. The language was then so Protestant that all were listening. I, of course, have knowledge of all these things. And this from the 50s and 60s. There was really not one of them who would have claimed to have received a direct commission. No one among them could mention a day or hour or month or year where he was called by the Lord and then being sent by Him. And also here, we just have to give honor and glory to the truth. And we must say, 1946, no man had an idea of any Pentecostal movement, even though it had its first breakthrough already in 1906, small churches here and there and rejected fellowships all over the world. But then came the moment that God gave the commission to Brother Branham and that he was told, "I will be with you and nothing will withstand your prayer, not even cancer." One just has to understand this in all its details. There's no man who could do what happened in the ministry of Brother Branham unless God did it. That's how we read it already. No man can do what you are doing and except God is with him. But with a divine sending is a responsibility before God connected. And if we say here at this place, it was this man, then we can stand before God with it. With this we can stand before God. And the first point is the following. The man who has to give the call to come out may himself not be part of any group. He must stand outside of every denomination to give the call to everyone Come out and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And let us be honest, all the others remained in their traditional teachings. Be it Trinity, be it the triune baptism, or all the other points. They remained as they were before. But the message of God is that all things would be restored back into its original condition before the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. There had to be a man of God who had the courage to preach the word. Courage. He was commissioned. And then it must take place. Then we have no own choice anymore. But now, two or three points are still on my heart. It is not good if we, for instance, criticize or object what in the big churches is not in agreement with the Bible, if we tolerate everything within the message what is also not in agreement with the Bible. One may have and use only one measuring rod. Everything else are compromises, and this we don't need. For this we are not suited. If, for instance, within the church history, in the first 400 years, a doctrine about God was invented, that God exists from eternity in three individual persons, and if then even a formulation is being used for it, like the triune God, then we have the right and the duty to search the Holy Scripture. Whether ever a prophet, whether ever an apostle, whether it is written one single time in the Old or New Testament, like it was decided, as was decided in the council. Of course, it's not written like this. It always says, to him, the only God, the one God. And this one God has revealed himself as Father in the Son and by the Holy Spirit. But I can bring you tomorrow the two big catechisms in German and in English, which were written, and how everything is being decorated biblically, even it's totally unbiblical. And here begins the deception. Here starts the fraud. I can't just say that it is so if the Bible does not bear any record of it. But just a few examples now. If, for instance, it is being said that Mary remains a virgin eternally and that the prayers are addressed to the Virgin, what shall I do then with Matthew 1, the two last verses? And Joseph didn't know her until she brought forth her firstborn son. What shall I do with it? What shall I do with the scripture? His brothers are here. Four are mentioned by name. And his sisters are dwelling among us. What shall I do with Galatians 1, where it speaks about James, the Lord's brother? What shall I do with all these scriptures? And then comes even to it, if it is being said that she ascended to heaven. What shall I do then with John 3, verse 13? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he who came down from heaven. What shall I do with all these scriptures, which are clear enough? You see, brothers and sisters, one can decorate certain things. One can place them as biblical, but they don't have to be biblical at all. When the Holy Scripture speaks about that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, when it is written in Psalm 22, Thou hast taken me out of my mother's womb. When it's written in John chapter 20, verse 17, Go, tell it to my brethren, I ascend up to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. Then we must go back to Matthew, when it was said, your mother and your brethren are here, they want to speak to you. And then our Lord turns to the audience and says, all who are doing the will of my Father in heaven, these are my brothers, my mother, and so forth. One sees how the Holy Scripture really gives information about every point. On the other hand, we are watching now how the whole world is being taken in, how no one is protesting anymore, how everybody is accepting everything. And he, who like our brother Daniel, is searching and providing us with all this information almost daily, with everything what is going on, all are agreeing. The Anglican Church has agreed. The Orthodox Church has agreed. All are agreeing. And just think of it now. On the 18th of May, this was the birthday of the previous Pope. There he would have turned 85. And then in Jerusalem it was decided to publish a stamp where he is shown at the Wailing Wall, to just show that there is no opposition anymore and that nothing is separating us anymore. Brothers and sisters, it is so far, because right at the end it will be fulfilled. Now is peace and safety. And just be honest, if Brother Branham would not have been sent, then we would not have searched the scripture at all. Our attention would not have been drawn to the prophetic part, which is now so important for our time. Therefore, we are thanking God that he has led it in such a way. And one cannot just say it were 500 evangelists. One must just say, no, it was this man. It was this man sent from God with a divine message to lead us back to the Word. With this, we can stand before God. Amen. With this, we can stand before God. Now we come to the next thought, namely the calling out. Tell me, why is it written in Matthew 25 about the wake-up call at midnight? This is then not anymore the call out from world and sin to become a believer. Not anymore the call, repent. Repent and be baptized. This is the call, the cry which is addressed to the virgins. And the virgins are already believers. They are pure. They are untouched. To them, the cry is addressed at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. not repent and be converted, but ye converted ones, ye who have repented, ye who are born again, ye who think to be led by the Spirit of God, now the call is addressed to you. And then comes Revelation 2 and 3. In every message, at the end it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, to the believers, God speaks to the believers, because they must be called out. And one can go here from scripture to scripture. And we see the connections. And believe me, 50 years ago, no man would have seen it. It was not even necessary. It was not yet the evening time, not yet the midnight hour. When God says, at evening time there shall be light, then it has become light. On the day of salvation, when it comes to an end, when the evening would come, and we think also on Luke 24, Lord, abide with us, for it is toward evening. It has become evening on the day of salvation, and God has given light by putting the word of prophecy unto the lampstand. Our attention was drawn to that what God appointed for this time. And also this, you must believe us, as Luke was following up all these things from the very beginning, he convinced himself based upon the scripture. This we also did. We not just believe with our eyes closed. We were searching the scripture. We followed up these things. The scripture convinced us. God convinced us. Not a man. We of course are not following a man and saying, this was the man of God. We are doing it as Luke has written. We have followed up all the things from the very beginning. And behold, it is so. And there, we can only thank God for it with all our hearts. We don't have to fool ourselves. We believe biblically. And the word of God has convinced us of the correctness of the accuracy of what is happening now. What convinces us? Some kind of interpretation? No! But as our Lord himself said, when you see these things coming to pass, thereby we are being convinced. Before, the Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's how it is written. But then, the Spirit comes upon us, and we are hearing what the Spirit has to say to the churches by the divine message of the Word. Let me once again emphasize it. I have from the beginning, from 1958 on, when I received the first sermons from the USA, I was sitting down and was listening to them, but I was searching. I always was searching and searching and searching. I followed up the Bible. I was searching Old and New Testament. And then great joy came up in me, because the conviction was not in the sermon, but the Spirit of God convinced me based upon the Word of God. And this is what makes us different from all the others. Also from those who claim to believe the divine message, the revealed word. Tell me, what is the difference that the ones believe that Mary ascended to heaven, or the others believe the Lord came already in 1963? Or as one denomination believes he returned in 1914, or the others believe he returned in 1878. We don't believe all this except the Holy Scripture convinces us. And the Holy Scripture convinces us of that, that when the Lord returns in reality, that we then not only speak about it, but that it is an experience, an act of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And if then a brother says, the graves were the dead denominations out from which we came out, then I had to ask the question, if you belong to those who came out from the graves of the denominations, then tell me, who are the living who remain? Do you get it? Yes. If these are already those who came forth from the graves, now what is then with those who remain until the coming of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is a true spirit and always connected with the Word of God. And the Word of God connects us with the reality of the experience. And we must say it time and again, everything what we find on promises in the Old Testament are being fulfilled in the course of the New Testament. And the Bible verses which we are reading, they speak of it very clearly. This is he. And why was it he? Because Luke could read it up in the prophet Isaiah. He has seen that the promise is in agreement with the ministry. So this is he of whom it is spoken of. The same with the place in Matthew 11, verse 10. This is he. Why is it him? Because in Malachi 3 it is written, behold, I send my messenger before me. This is he, because it is written here like this. And here's the fulfillment. The same it is in our time. I'm not about to believe anything unless I can check and prove it by the Old and New Testament, finding the evidence in the Word of God. This is a persuasion which no man, and not even the devil himself, can take it from us. A divine persuasion having assurance of faith based upon the Word of God. So, for the true believers, there is the first call, namely to become a believer. The first call, as Paul lines it out in the letter to the Corinthians, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. Believe the gospel, and the word of the cross becomes the power of God to those who believe, even tonight. The word must be believed, and then it becomes the power of God to us. But as already mentioned, then comes the second call. Whoever reads the seven church age messages in Revelation 2 and 3, we'll find out how diverse the church ages were and how necessary it was that God gave a message of correction, which was then delivered. And the last church age is, of course, the worst. He say, you are rich, you have need of nothing, and you think to have everything. And then the Lord says, you are naked and wretched, and I counsel you to buy eye salve so that you can see. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to go deceived from time into eternity. We want to hear the second call. We want to believe it, and we want to be being led into the obedience to the word, so that the Lord can confirm his word in us, and so that he can finish his work with the church by his grace. The Lord has a church. He has the wise virgins. He has his people who are hearing his voice, and whom he then leads to a repentance. And this is then the second repentance, namely repenting of all unbelief, of all own ways, of all what is not in agreement with God and his word. Because that's how it is. If we think to be the children of God, but are believing all those false doctrines, then we bear a false witness. To the true witness belongs the true word. And there may not be any mixing anymore unto the end, but instead be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, at this place, we cannot do or say something with a smile on our face so that an atmosphere comes up. With Brother Maynard, I experienced meetings where we then got an opportunity just before the end to give a short testimony. And there the people in these charismatic meetings, they were singing in such a speed that one could not even come along anymore. So fast they were singing, and then even moving their bodies to it. Brothers and sisters, God wants to have a movement on the deepest inside of our soul. He wants to penetrate by his word and by his spirit into our innermost being. And this is also the wish of our God tonight. Not only to call to repentance, but to call the children of God back to the divine order. The believers who wish to be part in the rapture have no choice. Their choice is already made. Ye cannot otherwise. You believe as the scripture said, because you were ordained to it from before the foundation of the world. And here, one more point. To whom it is revealed from God, he has it in his heart, not in the head. There comes no discussion up anymore. The enemy cannot come near revelation. Revelation is between you and your God. The enemy can sift, yes, this he can do, but never can he take the revelation from us. Our Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And if we read the letters to the Colossians and to the Ephesians, how Paul was speaking of the mystery which was hidden. And if we then may come back to this one point before we are closing, that we are living in this time, in the time where really everything must be brought back into its original condition. There's no other way. If it's written in Acts 3, verse 21, of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the heaven must receive him until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the very beginning. Then we must take it seriously. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, is waiting as bridegroom in heaven until the full restoration has taken place, until the bride is being called out, until she's separated and prepared. And by the way, if somebody says that the Lord came already, then we have the warning from the lips of our Lord himself. When they will say he is in the desert, don't believe it. When they will say he is in the chamber, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes out from the east and shines unto the west, so shall also his coming be. In a twinkling of an eye, it will have taken place. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, today we will thank our God for it, that he has granted us the grace to have been kept from all error. We have not been called out from big error to land up again in small error. The calling out takes place once for all. He who was called out once is sealed with the Holy Spirit because he received the word of truth. And the enemy can sift and shake like he wants. We remain in the sieve because we are the divine seed. Oh, how wonderful is our God. Are you glad about it? That we can say, just as Luke, we have followed up all these things from the very beginning. We are searching the scripture and we see it is in agreement with the scripture. And therefore, we have become eye and ear witnesses of that what God has done in our time according to his word. And we can say with a good conscience, the days of the Bible are here again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. I would like to emphasize the thought, let us bear one another's burdens. Let us feel for one another, having the love for God and the love for one another, that the need and the trouble of the other one becomes your and my trouble, that we are just joined together to one body by one spirit, where Christ can be the head, from whom all the members are penetrated with his life. That it might be fulfilled in us, now I live no more, but Christ lives his life through me. And He has given his life for us. And as John writes, we also ought to give our lives for one another. Remember, only perfect love will enter there. And this is the love of God, which is being poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the love of God is at the same time the love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, because they received not the love for the truth, therefore, God has sent them strong delusion. The love toward God and His Word and toward one another. Then the connection is here. And the Word has convinced us. Not a prophet, not a preacher. God convinced us by His Word. And therefore, we are thanking Him. And together, we want to give glory and honor to His name. He means well with us, and for this we are grateful to Him. Blessed and praised be the Lord, the Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up, let us thank together. Today we are just asking that we are raising our voices together, thanking our Lord God, who says a chorus which we can sing before, praise, honor, and glory. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord helped us on the day of salvation, then we want to thank Him now together with all our hearts. Ever faithful God, we are raising together our voice. We have searched Your Word, the everlasting Word of God. It is so. It is so, as You have said it. We thank You. We adore You. We glorify the power of Your blood and of Your Word and of Your Spirit. Have Thine own way with all of us. Save, heal, deliver, and bless. Baptize, baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh Christ, thy God, reap it! Reap it! Depend.
Glorify the Lord!
Praise Him!
Praise Him!
Hallelujah! 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 Worthy! Worthy! Worthy is You! Hallelujah!
Worthy art Thou! Give revelation. Convince.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. mein Gott. Hallelujah. 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 Reise Gott. O Geist des Herrn. Raus.
O Spirit of the Lord. Work. We praise the power of your love. Let us sing the chorus, Grace, Grace. And maybe our sisters have still a song which they could sing, Come Then to the Front. Let us remain in prayer and thanksgiving. God has done great things by His grace. The calling out is a reality, just as the call to repentance was a reality.
Gnade, anstatt Gericht Jesu lieb und Tod. Gnade, Gnade, Gnade viel größer als meine Schrei, da du anderen Gnade zeigest, gehe nicht vorbei. Heiland, Heiland, hör des Herzens Schrei, da du anderen Gnade zeigest. Gib mir an den Thron der Gnade, Ruhe von meinem Schmerz. Sieh dir Knie tief in Buße, tröste doch mein Herz. Heiland, Heiland, hör des Herzens Schrei. Verlangen, fest der Ewigkeit. Bei dir bin ich armer sicher, jetzt und alle Zeit. Heiland, Heiland, hör des Herzens Schrei. Da der zeigest, geh ihm nicht vorbei. Du bist ja des Trostes Quelle, Sünden bringst du heil. Sei der Friede meines Herzens, wird mein ganzes Teil.
This we claim now directly for us. And I'm asking you to bow your heads, to close your eyes, and to open your hearts. Do we have special prayer requests in our midst? Raise your hand. God is present. God is present. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The moment is here to take God at His word by faith and to receive the promises as a reality. That's how the New Testament started, with reality of that, of what was promised in the Old. In the Old, it is written, who forgiveth thee all your sins, and who healeth all thy diseases. In the New, the work is finished. It has happened. He has saved. He has healed. Blessed be our Lord. Brother Rus will have a few words for us, and then he will pray with us. Praise and thanks be unto our God again for His holy and precious word, which He has addressed to us on this evening. I think we are very glad and grateful. May the Lord bless us. Also in the meantime, during the night, may we remain in the spirit and in prayer, that we can come tomorrow again to hear again what He has to say to us. Yes, He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His people, and He knows what we need. We are grateful. Now, we want to ask the Lord for all who need prayer. Faithful Heavenly Father, You have seen the hands, You have seen the hearts, O Lord. You know what all need. We can give nothing, but You can make all things well. In the lives of these brothers and sisters, give grace, faithful Lord. We ask it in Your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Also here, the prayer requests which are here in front of us. You know these dear people. You know how to make things well. Blessed be Your wonderful and glorious name. Hallelujah. Let us sing Only Believe.
Amen. Amen.